Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time to go blitzing around the Beltway on Grant and Danny. Coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, Hard Knocks is going to come back on HBO again this year, and the Redskins are one of a handful of teams that could be asked to do the show. We can get into whether or not we would like that. Also, what teams are more likely than Washington. Some are already apparently going to the league and saying, please avoid us.
Please no.
Also, Bryce Harper to the Phillies. Sounds like it's going to happen. If the Phillies make the winning bid at $300 million or more, should the Nationals match that offer? We'll ask you that question coming up in just a few minutes. But let's kick off your blitz on the ice. Two goals for Alex Ovechkin last night, 41 and 42 for him. He's on pace for 56. Chris Russell covers the Caps here at the Fan. Slashy, why don't we start with Ovechkin's season? How do you put into words what he's doing?
Well, it's pretty hard to do, especially when teams continue to allow him, quite honestly, and John Carlson, especially on the power play, to set up, as we know, in the office on that left faceoff circle on the high side and just allow him to tee off. And he has the accuracy, for the most part, that he always does. Three goals in the last two games, fellas. Look, occasionally he's going to go through a mini little rut, but you know, again, when he's firing away and he has the clear lane, not only the clear lane to shoot as he has the last couple of games, but also when they give away that pass from Carlson at the top of the point to set up Ovechkin for the one-timer, it's incredible how teams can't find a way to take some part of that away. Again, it's not only the shot that they can't take away, it's also the passing lane that they don't take away. It really is incredible, and obviously a tip of the cap to Ovechkin, who just makes it work, times it up, and just continues to get stronger. Now, you hope that he doesn't peak, of course, too soon, and you hope that he, of course, has the same amount of gas left in the tank that he did last year, where he, in April, May, and June, became a great all-around player as opposed to just a great offensive player.
Russell, team at large is still frustrating. Obviously, you like, you know, beating the Kings, whether they did. They haven't won there since the 90s or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
But that
yeah.
Anaheim game, awful. Columbus yeah. game, mm-hmm. maybe one of their worst games of the season. Why can't they get going? It just seems exasperating. You're not sure who you're tuning into every night.
Yeah, I mean, it's been that way really for the large part of the last, 2 months, 2.5 months, and I don't think I'm overstating it. And it probably goes back to that first Anaheim game back at Capital One Arena in early December, Danny, where they had a 4-1 lead, and before you knew it, it was blown, and they were going out on a road trip, and they had lost, 5-4 or 6-5 or whatever it was. And it kind of started from there. I think I go back to it starts with poor defense, and it's been really all year or a large part of the year. And Matt Niskanen struggled. And at times, whoever's been on the third pair has struggled, whether it's been Brooks Orpik at times, whether it's been the young guys. Christian Juice gave up the first, or I would say he gave up the first goal last night. I mean, look, it's going to happen from time. Dmitry Orlov has struggled a lot this year. Bad penalties, that has put them in predicaments. Really, again, the faceoff problem has been a problem all year, which gives them instant puck possession in the offensive zone. You look at the first goal Anaheim scored the other night. Again, clean faceoff draw, boom, 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 and then they lose, and it's 1-1. And then the second goal Anaheim scored the other night, they're literally playing, not to steal my Redskins, but they're playing ping pong in the offensive zone, and there's no capital defenseman anywhere near there, and Braden Holtby is completely hung out to dry. It's been mystifying to see how many breakdowns this team, which has a championship pedigree now, has had over and over again this year.
And you don't like ping pong, Russell. Thank you, buddy.
No, we appreciate it. Thank you, fellas.
Let's talk some baseball. Jesse Dougherty is on the Nats beat. Jesse, why don't we start with the rotation? Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, 1-3 is as set as anybody's going to be. Probably the deepest 1-3 punch in baseball. What about after that? What gives the Nats confidence that Anibal Sanchez in his mid-30s can have the same year he had in Atlanta last year? And is the fifth spot Hellickson's, or could you see Fetty or Ross overtaking him?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with Sanchez's recent history, if you take a 5-year view, it's not pretty. If you take a 1-year view and bank on that, you're feeling pretty good with what he did last year. And also that he was working with Kurt Suzuki a lot, 16 starts last year in Atlanta, and the Nats obviously brought Kurt in too. So hopefully there's some carryover of those two working together as a battery. And then with Hellickson, yeah, I think the spot's his to lose. I'd say he's penciled in there, not penned in there. It still could get erased and you could add Ross or Fetty, but it's Hellickson's right now, and I think that would be the five that you'd expect to see come opening day.
Adam Eaton and Howie Kendrick, I think in no uncertain terms they need these guys, Jesse. Maybe not for 162, but you can't have 90 games played for Adam Eaton where he's not really himself for most of them. And, you know, Kendrick only made it through 40 games. They really missed those guys, I think, an awful lot, especially as the offense couldn't put together many good at-bats in kind of that June-July swoon.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think Adam Eaton, when he's healthy, kind of makes it go at the top, and that's a huge thing. He doesn't have the speed of a typical leadoff hitter, but he gets on base a ton. He's smart. He's also a leader. So when he's playing, it's just good. It's hard to sort of set the example and I guess lead by example, not to be too cliche when you're on the DL. And then with Howie Kendrick, I think it's interesting to hear a lot of the veterans on the Nats when you bring up all the additions they made this offseason through free agency or trades. Everyone stops you sort of mid-sentence and says, Howie's another acquisition too. It's almost like they signed another free agent given that he was hurt most of last year. And I think he's going to have an immeasurable importance on this team, given that he can play the corner and outfield spots, first and second, a righty pinch hitter. He's 291 career hitter. So in so many ways, he can help this team. And I think you're right in that some of that swoon last year in the summer, having him or having Eaton healthy and providing a veteran presence, but also their bat would have been huge.
Thank you, Jesse. Really appreciate it, buddy.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
Enjoy the day. There's Jesse Dougherty of the Washington Post. Let's talk some football. Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter. Craig, I understand that the Redskins were never going to trade for Joe Flacco because they could have traded for Joe Flacco from a financial standpoint, but are you surprised at all that they apparently internally were very interested? The Broncos made a move and went and got him because they knew that Washington was poking around.
I can't say that I'm massively surprised, because there are so many people in important positions in that building that are in very win-now modes. And so the idea of what is ultimately probably going to happen out of necessity, where a rookie is your only option because it's the only thing you can afford, isn't as appealing. So you poke around. But if they ever got close to where, you know, maybe the Ravens just played it really well, where they're like, hey, look, Washington's coming. You better come with an offer. You better get it now. You better get that pick down to a fourth. You know, whatever it may be, maybe they push a little harder than I thought they would, and maybe they were more serious about it than I think that probably they should be.
Craig, I looked at, I'm blanking on who it was, and I apologize for this, but they did a position of need and kind of where teams rank in terms of grades. The Redskins incredibly low at quarterback, lower than I thought at running back, which is interesting to me, but wide receiver, safety on a couple offensive line positions. This is not a group that's a player or two away, yet they seem to think they are.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to a couple of those positions. They see some guys internally that maybe from the outside aren't as highly regarded. I mean, at running back, right, they have a great feel for Darius Geis and what they think he's going to be. And ultimately, we'll see. Are they proven correct that they got a steal in the second round and he's a starter and they're set there? And then obviously they think highly of Chris Thompson. Others around the league might go, like, yeah, he's fine, but he's hurt all the time. You know, what they think of Jordan Reed internally might be higher than external. And some of those, I think I'd probably side with them, where I'm like, yeah, if Jordan Reed has a healthy offseason and comes back and is a 14-touchdown guy like he was, or 12-touchdown guy like he was in 2015, the last time he was healthy going into an offseason, yeah, he's awesome. They might look at him and be like, nope, their tight end position is screwed. So I think it, you know, and then obviously middle linebacker is another really interesting one. Where Reuben Foster, you know, what is he as a player? That's going to be a huge factor for them, not to mention how many games does he play. But there's clearly some, like, they need two safeties. You have an F at safety right now because you don't have anybody. So I think that they think they have enough that if they are good in free agency, a couple of smart players, they can compete. But certainly they're nothing close to a championship team, even if you add a couple of guys.
Craig, thanks for joining the Blitz.
You got it. See you guys.
Next on Grant and Danny, maybe we have the Nats pulse on Bryce Harper wrong a little bit. The results to a poll we posted earlier today are surprising enough that I'd be willing to consider that, to be honest with you.
Hmm.
Asked folks on Twitter if they would match the Phillies' final offer, even if it's over $300 million for Harper, yes or no. I think you'll be really surprised how people weighed in on that. Next on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. Might we see the Redskins on Hard Knocks this year? Chances have grown a little bit in the last couple of weeks, and we'll explain why coming up at 12:45. Wouldn't that be amazing, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Now, keep in mind.
That'd be so good for the show, too.
Well, of course it would. But all the footage has to be approved by the team, right, before it goes on.
Kind of, but I think more approved by the league. There's certain things the team can definitely take out. But there are things that air every year that teams don't love, like the Hugh Jackson versus Todd Haley. I'm sure the Browns didn't want that in there.
Or maybe they didn't know. I guess what I want is for everyone to see what we know. I need the incompetence
and
the boobery on display.
There would be a few times over the course of the season, Danny, where the Redskins just look. It's so revealing that they look like amateur hour. Think about when the Texans were on Hard Knocks. The Redskins had a cameo for 3 minutes on a practice, and they got into a huge fist fight, and Texans coaches were talking about how undisciplined they were. And then Bruce was at a party going, "Hey, Bob!" And we still have the "Hey, Bob" clip because of that.
We still have it.
They were on for 5 minutes. We had like three things that happened that were ridiculous.
Remember J.J. Watt was arguing with Roman Cornell. He's like, "You're worried about the run game. We just weren't watching him. What, they gained 3 yards in 4 days?"
It was great. It would be fun. But we can get into that a little bit later in the hour. I posted a poll. Reason I did this is you and I debated earlier today. How many Nats fans are there out there that actually do want Bryce back? You had told me, I don't even know if this was on air or off air. It might have been off air. You said there were a lot of people that were contacting us over the weekend to say, "Hey, you guys have this wrong." Just because we're not calling into your show, just because we're not the vocal minority, so to speak, in their opinion, doesn't mean we're ready for Bryce to leave. There's a lot of us that are very upset that he's leaving. There's a lot of us that are desperate to keep him, that are writing him fan mail and trying to do whatever we can to convince him to stay in Washington, D.C. My opinion all along, just reading the tea leaves and seeing what we see from these seats doing our show and read online, social media, what have you, is that the vast majority of the fan base is ready to move on from him. So here's the poll I posted. I want to know what you would have guessed the results would be. I said, let's say the Phillies offer Bryce Harper a winning bid of $300 million or more around today. Do you want the Nationals to match the offer? That's $300 million for 10. That's $330 for 10. Doesn't really matter. Do you want them to match the offer for the Phillies? So he's choosing between staying in Washington at the same rate or going to Philadelphia. Yes or no? What percentage of Nats fans do you think, and almost 2,000 of them have voted, so this is a pretty good sample. What percentage of Nats fans do you think will have said, yes, match that offer?
My guess is that it's really close to 50-50. That's what I'd intuitively say. Because I think that pulse of people that's out there that were furious at us, that were doing all sorts of backbending to say, well, the sports radio audience isn't really the true fan audience, and people that call aren't the real sample. We're the real sample, even though it's just as anecdotal as anything else, right? Your Twitter online community or whoever reads your blog and comments, etc. But my guess is it would be pretty close to 50-50.
So I was thinking 70-30. 70-30 would say no.
Okay.
They don't want it matched. That's the feel I get. That's why last week on the show we talked about, where are the people that want to do this deal? Where are the Harper supporters? Do they even exist? Why is it that people have moved on? That's certainly who we hear from at a 70-30 clip on the phones. You're hard-pressed to find someone to call in that supports signing Bryce Harper at this point. I don't know when the last time that happened was on the show, to be completely honest with
you. It's been a minute, yeah.
But your expectation came to fruition. It's almost 50-50 dead even, almost 2,000 votes in. 48% of people are saying yes, match the offer. 52% are saying no, let him go to Philadelphia. Now, I think part of this is that it's the Phillies. But that's a major factor. That's got to be taken into consideration.
It's huge for me.
You're paying him or you're not, and you're either playing against him 19 times a year or you're not. If he goes to San Francisco, if I ask the same question about the Giants, I guarantee you a lot more people would vote no.
Let me pack your bags for you.
Who cares if he goes to San Francisco? Right. You play him a handful of times. He makes one trip to Nats Park. It's a cross country, not that relevant to what the Nats are doing. If it's the American League and the White Sox, even fewer people would
care. One interleague series every, what, 3 years is how they do it? The 4 years, whatever the rotation is?
But it's the Phillies. That's why we talk about this every day. That's why I can't get over how little people seem to be discussing this and caring about this. But I am shocked. About half of you would match that, which means, I think, that there is support for paying him, that there is support for keeping him. What I don't know, though, is how much of that support is just because you don't want someone else to have him. In other words, it's not breaking up with a girl for fear that she's going to end up with your friend and he doesn't get her. So even though you wouldn't stay with her if you knew she was just going to move cross country and you never see her again, if you know that he's waiting in the wings, your best buddy of the past,
oh yeah,
who's now you're no longer friends with, and he, you know that he would go after her and they'd end up together, you just stay with her so she doesn't get him.
My way,
I think there's some votes like that.
100%. My way is emotional. My way is not the right way to run a franchise. You can't worry about what other teams are doing. You got to worry about yourself. That's why I'd make a bad GM. If I thought for a second that he's going to Philadelphia, I'll match whatever it is. I can't have that. I cannot have him torment me. I would do anything I could to prevent it. I would do anything I could. In fact, by the way, I would have traded him probably during the season to prevent that in hopes that he would sign somewhere else. Like with the you guys, please just sign through an extension. Bryce, where do you want to go? I would have done whatever I could to avoid it. The fact that he may end up there, looks like he's likely going to end up there, by the way. As I said, I will resent him and that for the entirety of his career and then beyond. I couldn't handle it.
We have one of the two biggest stars in Major League Baseball off the market. It's not Bryce Harper. To Pete Medhurst,
whoa,
we go. Earl, I believe, is here.
Yeah, Grant, Earl Forsey at the Fan Sports Desk. Just got word, Jeff Passan reporting just a moment ago, Major League Insider for ESPN, that free agent Manny Machado has agreed to a deal with the San Diego Padres. So Machado now off the market, meaning today could be the day for Bryce Harper. We will see. The Padres were still one of the teams, by many reports, still in the mix for Harper, but Manny Machado has come to terms on a contract. No terms yet, but according to Jeff Pass at ESPN, Machado has signed with the San Diego Padres. Breaking news from the Fan Sports Desk, and we'll keep our eye now on Bryce Harper today. Earl Forsey, 106.7 The Fan.
This is huge, Earl. This is big. Thank you, buddy. You'll hear all the news first on 106.7 The Fan. This is about 1 minute old via Jeff Passan. Machado is 26, just like Harper. He was the third pick in the 2010 draft, two picks after Bryce Harper. He got to the big leagues and played in Baltimore as a 19-year-old, just like Bryce did in 2012. Their careers, in so many ways, have rivaled each other's in the different leagues. Machado's average 162-game stretch is 30-plus homers, 90-plus batted in, and a .282 average.
He's great.
He's actually got a higher WAR, meaning the wins he's been worth in his career, than Bryce Harper to this point, a four-time All-Star. He goes to the Padres. They were interested in Bryce Harper. They've talked to both he and Bryce. Here's my takeaway, though, Danny. This is huge. I was told time and time and time again by people who are plugged in on what's going on with both of these parties, that Manny Machado would be waiting until Bryce Harper signed because he's going to get more money by waiting until after Bryce Harper signed.
I'm stunned by this, frankly.
I would be stunned if it wasn't February 19th. I'm not surprised just because I think at some point Machado got tired of waiting for Bryce. He probably said, you know what? Maybe we would get 10 or 15 million more. It's time to play baseball.
I think this was between the two of them a game of chicken. The same way that Boris is playing chicken with all the owners. And Boris doesn't blink. He always, waits to the very end, whatever's possible. I think Machado and Harper were doing this, whether directly or indirectly. Both wanted to be able to surpass the mark that the other set or use it as the barometer for one or the other, et cetera. I don't say stunned, but I'm surprised that Machado blinked because they were going to use Harper as that benchmark, right?
It was last year we saw this happen for the first time with free agents not signing until into camp. J.D. Martinez was the best bat on the market. He signed February 26th. So if you think this is dragged on, he signed a week from today. And Bryce Harper, by all accounts, is ready to do a J.D. Martinez here. He's ready to wait until midway through camp, until games basically start. Manny Machado may not have wanted to. He decided that he was done waiting for Bryce Harper, that he was going to get a contract at this point.
Mm.
He's going to the Padres. You'd have to think that's one team off the board for Bryce. You could never really see those two guys signing with the same organization. Again, it just seems like, as we said earlier, it's the Phillies against the Phillies against the Phillies, unless he takes a much cheaper deal. Here's what we need to find out, though. What did Manny Machado get? Is it going to be 8 years and an AAV of a record number, maybe? Did he get the record he was looking for? Like, if he makes $40 million a year, I don't think he will. But he'd be making, $300 million or so. I think it's probably something like 8 years and $250 to $270 million.
That's my guess.
Something in that range.
That's my guess. Because he's an infielder and there's grind at the shortstop position, there's grind at third base, it's not as convenient to just say, stand out there in right field and have 200, 300, 400 fewer chances over the course of a season. He wasn't going to get that 10-year deal. But, man, I am surprised. That's my guess, though, is that about 8 and 260. That's the number I had in my head.
So that's the breaking news. If you're just jumping in the car for lunch, free agent, stud, Manny Machado, longtime Oriole, finished his season with the Dodgers last year in the NL West, is staying in that division. He is signed with the San Diego Padres, according to Jeff Passan. Bryce Harper to the Phillies could be imminent. Would you match whatever offer they make as their final offer? 52% of you are saying no, 48% of you saying yes on a Twitter poll right now. Your calls are next on Grant and Danny.
Danny Ruggier for my guys at Ted Britt for Do It. Do it. And let the English see you do it. Get over there at my guys at Ted Britt Ford and get yourself an awesome deal on a car. I've done it two times. I love Ted Britt Ford. Went there the first time, 2016. We got ourselves a Ford Edge. We loved it. Loved the experience. Loved the car. Loved the deal. Loved everything about it, right? So you know what happens when you enjoy something. You go back and do it again. It's like a great roller coaster, King's Dominion. It's like a great meal at a great restaurant. Like my friend Mr. Mao Pineapple Chicken over here to my left. He liked it. He ordered it again and again and again. That's what I'm doing. When I need a new car, I'm going back to Ted Britt Ford. And I did. Got myself a Ford Fusion in 2017. You see that car right there? I love that car. I love that car. You can love yours too. Love at first drive all month long at Ted Britt Ford. A couple of these deals. I got to give them to you real quick. $13,500 off the MSRP on a 2018 Ford F-150. Unbelievable. Or take advantage of 0% APR for 60 months. And when you buy from Ted Britt Ford, it's Ted Britt for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage, baby. That comes standard. New pre-owned doesn't matter. Anything less than 100,000 miles, you get it. You got to go see him and tell him Danny sent you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So the numbers are in on Manny Machado, and they are stunning. He got what a lot of people have been speculating Bryce Harper would get.
More than I thought.
10 years and $300 million for Manny Machado. All the hand-wringing about how Machado and Harper weren't getting paid like they should, all the hand-wringing about whether or not they would break records or get their paydays or the collusion against them, that goes out the window when Machado gets 10 years and $300 million. And maybe it took longer than it should have to get here, and maybe this system is flawed because now it's February 19th and these deals aren't coming the way of the players until spring training games are on the verge of being played, and that's a problem. But 10 years and $300 million means the system's doing just fine for the players, for Manny Machado. We said all offseason, not as a show, but as an industry, you know, this would be revealing. If Machado, like you and I thought, had to settle for, it's funny to say that now.
Settle is funny. Yeah.
240, 260, 280, that's one thing. He got $300 million, 30 a year for 10 years, according to all the reports. Harper, the speculation has been since day one, is going to do better than him. In fact, probably substantially better than him. What does this mean? Well, it means the Phillies are going to have to pay Bryce Harper a little bit more. It means that Bryce Harper, I would say the floor for him is 310, 315. I think it's more likely he's in the 325 to 350 range after what just happened.
See,
over 10 years.
In general, I would agree with you if all things were equal. If this is just business as usual, I don't think anybody else is getting up there. I think the Phillies know it. I think the Phillies are in the catbird seat. Now, it may end up at 325 or you know, 316 or something, more than we've heard. But I think they know our offer is the best. We're not bidding against ourselves. We're not doing the Redskins bit of not letting the guy get back on the plane and go visit another city, right? I think they know that the White Sox aren't going to that term. I think they know the Giants probably won't reach that term unless a counteroffer is presented that way. I think they're saying, here's our offer. You guys go do what you're going to do. Beat the bushes for somebody else. Call Ted Lerner if you want. I don't know that it means 350. Your logic is correct. But this is such a weird climate.
The ceiling of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm saying he is not signing for less than 310 or 315, which I don't know that anybody definitively could have said that before today.
No, you're right.
We didn't
have
numbers. No, we had no idea.
Yeah.
Now when you tell me Machado's at 300, he's not signing for less than Manny Machado. There's no chance. So you kind of start the bidding again there, probably.
Mm-hmm.
My floor, my net for him would be 3 and 10 more million or 15 more million.
315.
You know, something like that. I could see, I guess, is my point, upwards of 350 at this point. I could see that.
See, I think Bryce wants the AAV title, which right now rests with Zach Greinke, at 34.4 million. I think he wants the overall dollar title, which rests with Giancarlo Stanton at 325. I think he wants both. And I think that's what this whole thing's been about, is getting that, is breaking both records. And that number, by the way, would, if you do the math on that, is over $341 million, $344 million, basically.
Right. If he could get to 10 and 350, he would get everything he wanted all along. And this would basically have all been about nothing. Just a lot of talk and a lot of nonsense. And he got all along what he wanted, what he thought he was going to get. It's why he left the $300 million on the table. You know, honestly, that could be what's happening, is they could have all along had 330 from the Phillies. Nobody has to know that.
Mm.
It's like any negotiation. Right. Cousins and his agent, Mike McCartney, probably knew, all right, our floor is going to be that the Vikings have told us they're willing to do this deal at 3 years guaranteed at 28. Now let's shop. Let's see what else. Worst case scenario, we're coming back and we're taking that. And you get a little better offer from the Jets, and eventually you come back and you settle on the Vikings, or however that worked. But I think that that happens in sports, is you kind of know what's out there. The Phillies aren't going away. They've got to tell you before they move on, and then you can make your decision up, and they haven't done that. By the way, the Phillies were hell-bent. They were 100% sure. They told their fan base, essentially, without using the words, we're getting Manny Machado or Bryce Harper. I think now there's more pressure on them to do that.
Yes, there is.
There is a little bit more leverage in the court of Bryce Harper today
they
than
just
there was
lost
an
some
hour
Philly.
Ago.
Philly lost some of that leverage with Machado signing elsewhere.
But that's where I go against what you were saying a minute ago. A couple minutes ago, you were saying, you know, basically that the Phillies don't have to bid against anybody else. I disagree. They have to make sure they get him. And if you're Bryce, you go, listen, you know all along, my goal here is I want to play for you guys, but I want to get this record. This means something to me. Let's do this. I don't think he's going to break the AAV record. I do think he's going to break the overall record. Now, this is being billed right now. The 10 for 300 for Manny Machado is being billed as the largest contract ever
There's
given out in sports.
I'm not understanding about that.
Giancarlo Stanton's was bigger, but isn't it because that contract was added to his deal already with the Marlins? Remember,
it was
when
an
he
extension.
Signed? So, like, he was already under contract for, like, 175 or whatever. Then they added up the totals, and they said it's a $312 million over X amount of years. So I think it's because this is never before has someone signed a contract and said, here's $300 million over the next 10 years. I don't think we've gotten to that point. So that's where it's being billed now that Manny Machado has broken the record for all of sports.
Is it the biggest free agent deal, as Tommy's pointing out? Because Stanton was traded.
Well, but he wasn't Stanton traded by the Marlins. He was a Marlin, and they signed him to the extension.
Right, but that wasn't a free agent contract.
Correct. If you're saying free agent in that you're on the market, maybe. But the way that it was termed is this is the largest contract ever given out in the history of sports. And what I'm saying is, in the same way, remember when Ryan Zimmerman got his $100 million extension or whatever that was? He already had money that was on his deal. Like, so they just say, okay, this deal kicks in 2 years. In other words, if you've got a year left and you make $500,000 next year and then the fan signs you for 4 more years at $1 million each, then the deal will read as five for $4.5 million.
Yes.
They just added up all the money for Giancarlo, which was already there. I think never before in one deal has anyone signed for $300 million. I think that's the point.
Yes. The point is, no one has ever been open to bidding, free agency. No one's ever signed that deal.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, it's correct. You got to do a couple semantic moves.
It's how agents work anyway,
but they
right?
love doing that bit, yeah. They love being able to say that. Record. That's right.
10-300.
Mm.
I mean, tell me more about how wrong these players are. You know, this offseason. Now, there's different conversations to have where we're talking about the number of teams that aren't trying to compete. Fair, Sean Doolittle, Max Scherzer. When we're talking about the aging veteran being phased out of the game, Jason Werth or other guys like him, for younger, cheaper guys. But this notion that players like Bryce Harper and Manny Machado were being screwed all offseason, doesn't this laugh in the face of that?
Yes.
10-300 for Machado, that's more than anyone thought he was getting since the offseason started.
It's a staggeringly irritating process for this, and you can be frustrated that it takes this long.
Sorry.
Here's where we are.
Here's $300 million for your troubles, Manny.
According to
Sorry you were annoyed for a few months.
Tim Brown of Yahoo and Jeff Passan, there's a 5-year opt-out clause for Manny Machado. That's going to be another sticking point here, by the way, is these guys want these off-ramps for once the CBA is done again.
It's a one-time player opt-out, right? So if he has 4 great years before that, sure, get out of that contract.
Right, let's do it again.
If your knee buckles on you again, you tear another ACL like you did in Baltimore, you have a problem between now and then, you ride out the $300 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
That's smart from the team. They probably had to get that done because, again, they're still paying a little bit of it. We're not ready to win yet. Tax.
Yes.
Manny Machado gets to live in Sandy frickin' Ego, man.
Yep.
What a great city that is.
With a group that is on the rise, by the way. They won't be any good this year. But I think next year, when the Dodgers are a little bit older and a little bit bloated and the Giants still aren't particularly good, and who knows what the Diamondbacks are doing, by the way. They sold off a bunch of pieces. That Padres team could be a lot of fun for a while.
By the way, just a couple of guys talking here. That's a terrible contract. Like, seriously. I mean, I know we've been talking about this all offseason. How would you pay and how much would you pay and what are they going to get? A decade and $300 million.
Yeah.
For a team in a market where they don't spend a lot of money.
No.
They already hate their Eric Hosmer deal. They hate it. They gave him 8 years and a couple hundred mil almost.
Somebody's got to hit ground balls in San Diego, Grant.
Oh,
they need a first baseman to hit 14 homers a year and 280 with some solid ground ball contact.
Grant and Danny on the fan. You want to react? 800-636-1067. Redskins on Hard Knocks. We can get into that next.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Bryce Harper's going to top that. Maybe today, maybe in the next hour, maybe during Chad's show, maybe tomorrow, maybe in a week. How much is he going to get if Manny Machado got $300 million? We'll get into the Redskins and Hard Knocks in a second, but our buddy Cheese in Silver Spring, a big Nats fan, wants to hop in. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Fellas, I'm doing good. So what does this do for guys like Bregman and Judge and Trey Turner that are all making like less than a mil the year. Like, we're going to see, and like Trout, like, literally might get $400 million. This is absolutely insane. Like, it's so crazy. Like, I can't even wrap my head around it. There's so much money getting tossed around, and I love every second of it.
Well, thank you, Jeez.
I mean, this goes the opposite of what we've heard all offseason.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. I mean, all offseason we've heard that teams don't want to spend and they don't want to give the money to these guys, and you know, poor Bryce and Manny aren't getting what they're supposed to. You hear that call, you wouldn't think that's the case, but he makes a point. Now, all of a sudden, the discussion about Mike Trout chasing $400, $450 million back on the table. If Manny Machado's worth $300 million and Bryce Harper's worth $325, Mike Trout's worth $350. He's worth $375. So, yeah, I think that discussion begins anew. Absolutely. Ben's in Rockville on the Fan. What's up, Ben?
Hey, bud. Hey, listen, hey guys.
Hey, Bob,
listen,
hey.
I don't think it's out of the possibility either that Bryce goes to San Diego. It's weird, but before all this started, I thought that Manny would already go, one of the two would already go to the Padres. They're building toward a super team. They're young with the way the pieces they've been building. And for Manny, too, location, location, location. He was already in L.A. The only problem there was management, so he doesn't have to move far. He's in a great spot. But Bryce, I still think it's possible, but I don't know what's going to happen with Bryce. But I still think the way the Padres have been building over the recent years, you know, they're trying to head toward a super team within the next couple years.
Thank you, buddy. Our buddy Casey Stern, MLB Network Radio, television host, et cetera. A couple tweets here in a row. Pressure on Phillies, this goes to what you were saying. Pressure on Phillies to grab Bryce, but if they don't give more in years/AAV, he's going to end up back in D.C. They'll need to pay huge. Bryce deserves to and will get more money than Machado. If it's the Phillies, it may break Twitter with the number. So that is check one in the Grant Paulson column for those numbers that have to come out now.
There's only one. Well, I guess there are two ways now for him to look like he wins, and I do think that matters to him. One way is to get the most money anyone's ever gotten. That's the Phillies. The other way is, if you crawl back to Washington with your tail between your legs, you can at least sell this as, I wanted to be in D.C. all along. I wanted to be a national. I didn't want to leave there. I love Washington, D.C. I love this fan base. I was busy telling anyone who would listen that I wanted to be there for the last several years, and no one wanted to believe me. But that's the only way I think he can kind of bill this as a win if he doesn't break the record in terms of money. He's not going to take a 6 or 7 year deal for less money than Manny Machado at this point to play for the Giants. It's not happening. Or the Phillies. Or the Padres. Or the Dodgers. So that's, I guess, where you could say he'd come back to Washington because Ted Lerner could get on the phone with Scott Boras. I'm still not really acknowledging that as an option. This is the Phillies. It'll be for over $300 million. What, didn't we just learn something with Machado? We were wrong all along, people. We thought the money wasn't there and the money was there. The money will be there for Bryce, too. If the money was there for Machado, why wouldn't the money be there for Bryce? By the way, I don't believe in the Padres getting both thing. I don't think that's a thing. Their payroll was $73 million before that Machado contract for this year. They had like $21 million to Hosmer, I think like around $6 million to Will Myers, $7 million to Garrett Richards, and then a bunch of guys for a couple million. They don't spend any money. They're not a big market team. Remember, they made the mistake a few years ago of going and getting a bunch of veterans, and they fell on their face completely.
Yeah, they tried. They kind of went all in.
Now, they got a ton of prospects. They got one of the best systems, if not the best system, in the majors. I do a show every Sunday morning on MLB Network Radio about the minor leagues, and I would rank the Padres system right now best in baseball probably, or near the very top, if not number one. The difference is they're not going to go out and spend on two guys $100 million in payroll 4 or 5 years from now when those numbers start to escalate and you get those massive deals for a market that's been in the 60s and 70s in payroll for years. I just can't see that. I don't think that's a possibility. I do want to get into the Redskins and Hard Knocks. We're short on time to do that properly, so maybe we could just hit it briefly here and get back into it in a few minutes. But are you tracking at all any of the developments or what people are saying about who could be in and who could be out for Hard Knocks this year?
I have a little bit. I mean, I keep seeing New York items about the Jets. meaning that they would be one of the leading candidates?
So the Jets are definitely on people's radars, but the Jets would actually not have to do it. They'd have to volunteer because they have a new head coach.
Right.
So here are the most likely teams, according to a piece on NFL.com by Dan Hansis, this coming year, based on the clubs that don't really have a choice. The New York Giants, signature franchise, second-year head coach, a lot going on with Odell Beckham Jr. People love Saquon Barkley was the offensive rookie of the year. You got Eli Manning at the end of his rope.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be great television. The Giants would make a lot of sense. And, of course, that TV market, you think HBO would be interested. The number two team listed is the Raiders because John Gruden and Hard Knocks should be a marriage.
I mean, that's a match made in heaven, number one. But number two, the kind of redheaded stepchild thing that Oakland's going through right now where nobody wants them because they're going to Vegas eventually,
yeah,
but they're still kind of here, and that's great fodder for Liv Schreiber.
That's a good point. You got stadium drama. You got fan base drama. They're going to Vegas. They're getting ready for the move. And, oh, by the way, don't forget they have three first-round picks this year. So they could potentially have three guys they just drafted in the first round that they could follow through that show. Number three team is the San Francisco 49ers. Their argument here is, Kyle Shanahan is a very well-respected head coach for his offensive acumen, kind of put him on the map a little bit more. Jimmy Garoppolo got a massive contract to be a franchise quarterback. It's still not all that well-known, but is well-liked around the league. And it's a team that everyone is already saying, they're the sexy up-and-comer.
Yeah, which they've been doing for 2 years.
True.
I don't buy them as number three, frankly, in this discussion. You can come up with a reason for every team. Everybody's got some storyline that's compelling, but I don't know. I wouldn't put them ahead of the teams that are behind them, I would say.
Fourth, the Washington Redskins.
Ah.
Speaking of cliffs, as Hansis writes, we all fall off pretty hard after the top three options. Let's face it, the Redskins are not the most exciting team in the league, and Alex Smith's devastating leg injury could set the stage for more depressing quarterback competition in Washington. He says the most depressing maybe since Beck versus Grossman, traded haymakers in 2011. If nothing else, that battle did give birth to my favorite quote in my near 9 year with the NFL media. Mike Shanahan, I believe in him, and I've been doing this a long time, and I put my reputation on these guys that they can play. Whoops. I mean, he's one of the guys that loves that quote, I guess.
But run that one back.
Point of the dude's story is he's got the Redskins as a must-see circus and thinks they're the fourth most likely team to get Hard Knocks.
I put the Redskins ahead of San Francisco. The final team is the Detroit Lions, and I put the Lions ahead of San Francisco. The Lions, to me, the fans hate Matthew Stafford.
I don't know if it matters. Matt Patricia has basically come out and said he will not cooperate with this. Like, he wants nothing to do with it. I don't know if the NFL cares about that or not.
I hope that they care enough to say, you've got to do it. I want to see that the guy that wants the Belichickian level of treatment without accomplishing Belichickian things, I want that guy under the microscope. I want that slovenly jerk who was mean to, like, reporters because he wasn't, like, sitting upright or his tie wasn't tied the right way or whatever the hell, to have to experience the cameras.
Jamal Collier covers the Nationals. Manny Machado has a contract. What does it mean for Bryce Harper? How much money is he going to get? Could the Nats get back into this if it's just the Phillies bidding against themselves? Grant and Danny on the bench.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.